This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go, boy. Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour space station social. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in Texas, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Austin to the Alamo, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air. How is everybody doing this morning? We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. This morning, we are coming to you live from the Entercom Radio compound in Austin, Texas, in the studios of Talk Radio 1370 AM here in Austin. I've had such an amazing time over the last couple of days. The Bourbon Bell and I flew in for a birthday party, a 40th birthday celebration for one of our really close friends over the weekend in San Antonio. So what we did was we flew into Dallas after Wednesday's show, and then Thursday and Friday kind of made our way down through Texas to San Antonio. And now we are in Austin for the day, flying back. We'll be back in the New York City studios coming up tomorrow through the rest of the week. But I love Texas. I have some of my best friends down here. I've got friends in Houston and San Antonio and Austin and Dallas. And I just absolutely love it every time that I come down. The Republic of Texas. I have eaten so well. I can't wait to go over all of my meals with Mraz to see if he checks off on them. We may even have a very special in-studio guest while we're down here today doing the show. But Austin is such a cool town. San Antonio is such an amazing place. This whole area has been so fun to kind of explore and bounce around to over the last couple of days. And if you're following me on Instagram, you've seen a lot of that on my Instagram stories, which is at Damon Amendo. So it wraps up today, and thanks to the good people here in Texas for stuffing me full of barbecue and Mexican food basically every meal of this entire trip for 5 days. Coming up this morning here on the show, a lot on the NBA playoffs for obvious reasons. Do we have some type of series in the Eastern Conference? That would be nice, huh? It'd be nice if we had just a little bit of drama. In the Western Conference, we do not, but we shall discuss Kevin Durant being tortured more than likely by this Warriors domination and KD once again fighting on social media. The Rockets and Mike D'Antoni, could they buy all in on another 3 years of what's going on right now? Because I know there's a lot of Rockets fans that would like them to move on from Mike D'Antoni. And we've got to also hear from the Thictator, because he, of course, was gone last week during just poor timing when we celebrated his birthday on Tuesday. So we'll get Mraz's thoughts on our birthday celebration complete with Huge Freeze and a Fudgy the Whale coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, any of these topics you want to jump in on, we can do that at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Also, on Twitter, great way to get a hold of me, at DA on CBS is the handle, DA on CBS. And because the Traveling Road Show never sleeps, we are also simulcast today at watchda.com. So on any device, anywhere, you can be watching from our Austin studios here at watchda.com. Yeah! Let us begin with the Toronto Raptors, who are down 2-0 after getting pushed around, beat up in game number two, dominated in game number two in Milwaukee. Bucks had the 2-0 series lead coming back to Toronto. And it just felt like it was inevitable that we would have a Warriors-Bucks Steph Curry Greek Freak matchup of the NBA Finals. The Raptors had kind of seemingly emptied their tank in the second round against the Sixers, that amazing shot that we talked about last week from Kawhi Leonard. But running into a Bucks team that was the best record of the NBA this season, maybe one bridge too far for Toronto. Well, last night, multiple times for the Raptors to wilt, multiple times for the Raptors to be exhausted, to lose that game and basically the series be over, down 3-0. But Toronto stayed the course, clawed its way back, kept taking leads, and at the end of regulation survived, at the end of the first overtime survived, and then survived after two overtimes. So last night, we finally have a win from somebody not named the Bucks or Warriors in the conference finals. So let's start here. Now that Toronto got a game, and it's 2-1 with a game number four in Toronto again, can the Raptors storm back and make this a series and possibly win this series? It's where we begin. You're cold open.
Bucks heave one with 3 seconds left. An air ball on the triple attempt there from Brogdon. And the Raptors are going to win. They inbound. The clock goes. The buzzer goes. And the Raptors take care of business on their home floor. They win game three. The Bucks still lead the series 2-1. But as the old adage goes, it's not a series until the home team loses a game, and it hasn't happened yet, folks.
When you're out there, I don't think you're – well, I'm not thinking I'm down 2-0 at the time. Just playoff basketball, you got to be in the moment, live in the moment. And, you know, we just all wanted to lay it out on the floor tonight.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Well, that's Raptors radio on the call. 118-112. Toronto gets the game three victory. That's Kawhi after, once again, a sterling effort in a big spot. 36 points for Kawhi, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, a pair of steals. He's once again doing everything and anything. But last night, the real crucial part of the Raptors was that they got really good games out of other players not named Kawhi Leonard. Remember, I mean, in game number 7 against Philadelphia, it had boiled down to, if Kawhi can't make a shot, we can't do anything. And last night, we saw so much more from so many of the other players in the Raptors. And when Siakam had that amazing play in overtime, and he has 25 and 11, that's the type of running mate that the Raptors need this series. And Marc Gasol finally looking like a quarterback on the floor, distributing, passing from a big man. He's got such dexterity. Marc Gasol being very, very successful and efficient. 16 points, 12 rebounds as well, a double-double for him. Kyle Lowry had fouled out, but Lowry had decent moments as well. And off the bench, Nick Powell contributes. He pours in 19 points. These are the types of things the Raptors absolutely have to have, because you know what Kawhi is going to give you. Kawhi is going to give you huge buckets, unguardable mid-range jumper, incredible explosion of the basket, and phenomenal on-ball defense, which he once again did last night. We know this. That's the given. That's why Kawhi is one of the best players of the NBA. What we don't know for the Raptors is everything else. And here's the thing. Here's a big if. If the Raptors get those types of games from Siakam, from Gasol, from their bench, from Lowry, then yeah, they can make this a series. The problem is, I don't think they will. I don't think that this is a team that you can count on the consistency of those types of games. And so to me, it's still the Bucks series to lose, and I expect Milwaukee to win game number four. I expect us to see Milwaukee do it, and they nearly pulled off game number three multiple intervals during that game you saw the Bucks nearly seize the road game and rip the hearts out of Toronto. I just don't think we're going to see that surrounding Kawhi three more times of this series. But I think the next question is, if this ends up being a series and we end up going 6 or 7 and the Warriors are done in 4 or 5, does that put the Bucks, or if the Raptors pull it off, does it put whoever challenges Golden State to the finals at a competitive disadvantage? Think about that as this series moves along, if it does end up getting extended into a game 6 or a game number 7. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I definitely think that's a concern, because if the Bucks have an emotional, physical, grinding series in the Eastern Finals and the Warriors have breezed through in 4 and they're waiting around, sitting around, and then the Bucks have to jump into Golden State of the NBA Finals on little rest, I absolutely think that that can affect what we see in the NBA Finals. To me, I believe the Bucks can beat the Warriors. As great as Golden State has looked, I really do believe the Bucks can beat the Warriors. I'm not certain I believe that, though, and maybe I just want to believe it. I don't really believe that if it's a 7-game series for the Bucks and a 4-game sweep by the Warriors. And that's why that game number 2, which we will talk about this morning on the show, but that game number 2 in the Western Finals was everything. It was very reminiscent of game 1 of the NBA Finals last year, where LeBron and the Cavs have a chance to steal one on the road at Oracle, and J.R. Smith forgets score and time, and LeBron has the epic, iconic meme pointing at the clock, screaming at the scoreboard and at his teammate JR, "How could you not know? How could it happen?" And I really feel like that was because LeBron knew the rest of the series was over, that he was not going to be able to come back. That team wasn't going to be able to come back. Their shot at stealing a game and perhaps dictating the series happened in game number 1. And once that slipped away, they were done. They were toast. They were cooked. Game 2 of the Western Finals felt the same exact way. That had the Blazers held on to that 17-point lead, and then in the fourth quarter it was a 7-8-point lead, had they held on to that, swung the series, had a 1-1 series coming back home, now suddenly you could envision the Blazers putting a lot of pressure on the Warriors and making the Warriors scatter a little bit and squirm a little bit. And instead, once Golden State came back from that, the way that Golden State played in the fourth quarter of that game, that comeback was really phenomenal. You knew the series had pivoted, and then that was just kind of hammered home in game number 3, where Golden State wins game number 3 the other night, and now 3-0 series lead, game, set, match. Hopefully Portland could get game number 4 just to at least send it back to Golden State. It'd be a sin if this Blazers season, which has been so good and has really pushed the franchise forward, if it ends in a sweep. I think they're better than that. I think they deserve a better fate than that. But if it does end up in a sweep, you've got Golden State hanging around waiting to see who comes out of the East. That can't be good for the East in the NBA Finals. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. So last week on Tuesday, we celebrated Mraz's birthday. We wanted to make sure the Thictator felt welcome and celebrated and honored. And wouldn't you know it, no good deed goes unpunished. Suddenly, Mraz, for some reason, is angry at us. I don't know why, but we'll get his side of things coming up here next. DA, on the road in Austin, Texas, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
On the
sweatpants at work zone.
It's just so unfair, the light I've been painted on for this show. When you need me to be fat and disgusting, it's okay for a laugh. But when it comes time to actually share a real-life moment, I'm too fat and disgusting for you. It can't work both ways.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I think that's an unfair way to characterize our relationship with Mraz here on the show. But the big boy has feelings, and we need to make sure we respect them. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, live from Austin, Texas, and the studios of Entercom Radio and Talk Radio 1370 AM. I'm on a little Texas road trip, celebrate a wonderful 40th birthday with one of my good friends. You probably remember and heard the name here on the show, Hector Ledesma, who is our Spurs insider, who's a San Antonio sportscaster. He's one of my closest friends. He celebrated his 40th birthday yesterday in San Antonio. And so the Bourbon Bell and I wanted to come in and make sure we were here for the trip and for the celebration. We're really close with their family. And so we were able to come down and spend a few days in Austin and Waco, Texas as well. You might say, DA, what were you doing in Waco? Well, the Bourbon Bell is a huge HGTV Fixer Upper fan. There's a TV series called Fixer Upper, where they take old homes and renovate them, and she loves that show, and they're based out of Waco, so she wanted to see a bunch of the homes that they've done, and they have a big kind of compound with a restaurant and shopping, et cetera, food trucks called Magnolia Farms, Magnolia and the Silos, so we did that one day as well. So that was a lot of fun. We've had a lot of great days, and we had a lot of great dinners and seen great friends and saw some live music in Austin, so it's been just wonderful. I've gotten so much brisket in my stomach that I think I'll be coming back and mooing in New York City. So I'm very excited about all the things that we've done here in Texas. And I feel really good. I feel really fulfilled and satisfied because I got to spend time with friends and celebrate them. And I just feel like that's part of who I am, making sure that others feel like they are respected and honored around me. Those that I love, I want to make sure that they know that I'm always thinking about them. And when it comes to my friends that I have seen here in Texas, they say, DA, you're such a great friend. And they say, your wife is so wonderful. You guys are so warm and you guys are so thoughtful. And I say, well, thank you. We don't do it for that, but it's really nice to hear. And I'm so appreciative of those that appreciate my efforts to honor them and to celebrate them, which is what makes last Tuesday all the more disturbing. It's jarring, to be quite honest with you. Because last Tuesday, we celebrated Mraz's birthday. Mraz had turned the ripe old age of 32. And on Tuesday, we said, myself, Pete the Body Bellotti, Andrew Bogish, and Andrew Kaplan, all of us got together and said, we really should do something for Mraz, don't you think? Everybody said, Mraz is such an important part of the show. We really should do something. It's his birthday. So I'm telling you, me and Bogish, I mean, we drilled down to get his favorite birthday cake in studio, the Fudgy the Whale cake from Carvel. We got his favorite cake. I personally went to get balloons. Me and Bogish are blowing up balloons in the studio last week to decorate for this guy, for our friend. We even went out of our way to invite some of Mraz's best friends, like Huge Freeze. I mean, Huge comes in on his day off to eat cake to celebrate Mraz's birthday, and here we are, less than a week later, and all I get from Mraz is, how dare you? How dare you, guys? And I personally am a little taken aback that there's not more appreciation for what we did for Mraz. Now, Mraz is back from Hawaii. And so I ask you, Mraz, why not just be thankful that we were thinking of you last week?
Be thankful for what? Being treated like a piece of trash from all of you guys? I mean, I don't get a Fudgy the Whale. I don't get a cake when I'm here the six other years I'm here on my birthday. But now the moment I'm away, you got that fat slob sitting in that chair eating that cake, and you guys are all wearing the hats and balloons and poking fun and running a scroll on the bottom line of all my tribulations throughout my life. It's a disgrace. And now you're cowardly avoiding facing me today by being in Texas.
This was scheduled for quite a long time. I'm not avoiding facing you. I just don't understand. How did you not go, wow, that's so nice of them. They thought of me on my birthday.
How? Well, I don't know. First of all, this show starts at 3 a.m. Hawaiian time. So by the time it ended at 6 a.m. Hawaiian time, and by the time I rolled my, you know, larky ass out of bed and had a million tweets and text messages, did you see what DA did? Oh, my God, I can't believe you brought Huge Freeze back. On a day I'm supposed to be circling around Oahu, going in waterfalls and visiting Pearl Harbor, I'm rattling off tweets and texts all day because you guys couldn't let me enjoy my vacation because you had to bring the Fudgy the Whale to eat Fudgy the Whale in my seat with a bunch of hats and balloons. And you say you invited friends, friends plural. What, does each of Robbie's moobs count as friends? Because I didn't see anybody else here. What a joke.
Now wait a second. Carvel even gave you a shout out on Twitter and Instagram about this.
They did. I'm happy they did. They were the only ones that treated me right out of this whole group was actual Carvel. And really, let's just cut straight to the chase. You want to put him on cake cam and stuff his face and have him sing along. And of course he got the cake. I'm surprised the cake made it here. If he got it, he didn't eat it the whole way in. But on top of that, you let the guy trash, and your excuse is, well, the mic happened to be on, and then he trashed. Is a banishment or not? You say I have no integrity. You say this, that, and the other thing about a producer. I make sure we follow through with things. I'm covered in birdseed and a pink Speedo in Central Park because you pay off bets and punishments. This guy's banned, and you're having him trash. I don't want to hear anything about the mic left on. This show has lost all couth, all integrity, and quite frankly, all of you guys should be ashamed.
Now, wait a second. I've paid off every single bet I've ever had of this show, including not once but twice eating death by salsa, once in a bunny suit. So
right.
I don't want to hear that I don't pay off bets and you're the only guy that
does. So how hard is it to keep the fat Frankie Valli off the air? I don't understand. Why does he have to trash?
The fat Frankie Valli? Look, it was not scheduled. He was supposed to come in. You and I both know he is banned from the radio show. He's not banned from the camera, from the Watch DA simulcast.
Right, yeah. You put him on K-Cam, you have him sit in the studio, but the idea that he trashed and your loophole was a mic was left on. So if a mic was left on, what was going on during the other time? Is it going to be 3 minutes of dead air then? Is that what we were going to do? That's a bull loophole, and you guys should all be ashamed. The banishment doesn't stick? Ridiculous. I am embarrassed for the show for what happened on Tuesday.
Huge Freeze was in studio eating cake silently, okay? Silently on K-Cam. Just eating six slices of cake over the course of the show. All right? It's not our fault that he was talking to Bogish off air and Bogish's microphone was on and it happened to be his trash about drive-thrus, so, not giving him the right sodas.
So the loophole there, what was supposed to fill that hidden time? More Connor Green talking about his power being out? I mean, geez. You got this obese blunder of a man sitting there while I'm out filling my Trash Tuesday void.
Bogish is in studio. Yeah. Bogish, does Mraz have a viable complaint here?
Of course he doesn't. And the nerve to whine about us doing something to you on your vacation, which wasn't that bad. I'll remind you where I was when you decided to take a you-know-what on my career last summer.
Hatchet.
I was on the beach on vacation, and then my phone started blowing up with actual insulting, mean things.
Yeah, you were 6 hours away, time zone-wise.
I don't care about time difference.
I find out 2 hours after I wake up, and my whole day was consumed with this.
We loved you for 3 hours.
It's true.
You weren't even here, and we did a whole show about you. You're welcome.
You loved me for three. You said you invited friends, and all I saw was Huge Freeze sitting there. Where were the other friends?
Yeah, they didn't want to be on camera. They wouldn't sign the release.
And how long ago did you guys plan this little
You know what, impressively,
endeavor?
We started on Friday and made it happen on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm surprised any of you guys even knew it was my birthday, to be honest with you.
Well, we thought it was Monday.
No.
We have knew.
Wait, your birthday was Monday? I thought it was Tuesday. Thought it was Tuesday.
My birthday was Monday, yes. Yeah. So you celebrated, 364 days ahead of my next birthday.
Yeah, but I don't understand this part of it. When you woke up to us celebrating you and talking about you and doing segments of the show for you, there wasn't a part of you that was like, wow, they thought about me while I'm gone. The whole part of this was aggravation?
No, because the whole part of this was a sham. It wasn't about me. It was about getting Huge Freeze in here. Because everything that was about me was with him with the cake cam, with chocolate fudge all over his face, eating my favorite cake, at which, by the way, you guys didn't save me a sliver. You know what I got for my birthday today? Bogus bringing in a stale bagel with no butter. That's what I got. No leftover cake. It's ridiculous. So the whole thing was, let's just find a way to get Huge Freeze in here the moment Mraz is out. And then guess what? You got him in here. You used me as the hapless joke. You put out a bunch of party hats. You blew up a bunch of balloons. You ran a ticker like it was Times Square telling us the updates with the Olympics or something. And this is what I get? This is the thanks I get?
I promise you, the idea did not start with Robbie.
That's right.
It started with you having fun when you were not here. Robbie was an addition. It was somebody's idea to bring Robbie in. It began with us just having your favorite desserts with you not here for your birthday.
Dessert. So now there was cannolis and chocolate chip cookies as well.
Well, again, we graduated. We talked it out. We had meetings, and we settled on Fudgy the Whale because it made the most sense, and it's the most delicious.
You know what's interesting? Right before I left, too, because I remember things that DA says to me before I leave. He doesn't remember things I say to him, which is another story. DA said, Mraz, you know, we got stuff from Klondike. I was ready for my Klondike bar on Thursday. What happened? I said, well, DA, remember, I'm going to tell you the Thursday I come back. We're going to start with Thirsty Thursdays with Klondike bars. Well, guess what? I'm going to bring in six Klondike bars Thursday. I'm going to eat them all myself in front of you guys.
Okay.
None of you guys get any because I didn't get a damn piece of cake. You want to have fun? Tuca play at that game, Machacho.
What? Just call us Manny Machado.
All right. Here's my question, Mraz. Are you at all surprised or is this normal for, you called him the fat Frankie Valli?
Yes.
Is it normal for the fat Frankie Valli to eat six slices of Fudge of the Whale cake? Have you ever eaten six slices of a fudgy?
Yeah, last night I had two. I've certainly eaten six. Of course it's normal. It's different than regular cake because it's not as dense. It melts more down your mouth. So, yeah, I think six slices is fine.
Probably in one sitting.
Yeah,
in one sitting.
Look, it's probably a little much. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's doable. Sure, I've probably done the same.
So that part you don't disrespect the fat Frankie Valli.
No, it would have been more disrespectful if you let the whole cake melt and not eat it and didn't leave me a slice. At least I know it went somewhere.
Down the hatch.
Down the fat valley.
Well, I know there was a lot of listeners that really enjoyed the Mraz birthday celebration, so I'm sorry that you did not, but you know, what can I say? We were thinking about you, and sometimes no good deed goes unpunished.
Hey, I'm sure you're going to think of me next year when I'm actually here. Yeah, I'm sure.
This could be a new tradition. You don't know.
Oh, I know. I have a feeling I know.
Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, let's look at Kevin Durant. Is this torturing Kevin Durant to watch the Warriors do this without him? We'll discuss coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. I'm on the road in Austin, Texas.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Pete the Body Bilotti bringing us back from commercial break with some tunes for Mraz. I thought this might be It's My Party, I Can Cry If I Want To, considering Mraz cried about his own birthday party that we threw him last week. Okay, sure, he was on vacation during it. Come on. A little thanks would be nice.
No, instead we get the real Frankie Valli, not the fat Frankie Valli bringing us back.
Glad you're back with us here on the DA Show. I'm live in Austin at our Entercom radio affiliates, Talk Radio 1370 AM, as I've been in Texas the last couple of days, visiting some friends and some very close acquaintances and wrapping this road trip up today. I'll be back in New York tomorrow, but we're doing the show, and you can still watch the show at watchda.com. By the way, it's an Ask the Pros Day, so you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. I'll be listening later on in the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. The Warriors have not lost since Kevin Durant went down. They're now up 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals, looking for a clean sweep in game number 4 in Portland. And since KD went down, and people wondered, oh, could this be the end? Is this the end? Is this where the Warriors dynasty finally crumbles and topples? Is this it? Not so fast, as the Warriors have become the old Warriors. The new Warriors are now transforming into the old Warriors. Look at the ball movement. Look at the making the extra pass. Look at the motion and the movement. My emotion during game number 2, Warriors, Blazers, Portland up 17 at one point, is totally torn, okay? Because part of me is just dying inside that even a team in the Western Finals can't hold on to a 17-point lead against the Warriors. That if that is not enough to beat the Warriors, what will be? I am so ready for Golden State to lose. I am so ready for the shimmying and the shaking and the celebration and the mouthpiece and the Draymond and all of that to step aside. I'm tired of it. I want it to go away. I want new blood. I want a new champion. I want something else. It's my same gripe with the Patriots. I want fresh blood. I want new faces. I want new stories. I'm tired of the Warriors, the Patriots. Move along. I got no time. So on the one hand, I am dying inside watching the Blazers gag this thing away. Bucket by bucket, missed shot by missed shot. Lackadaisical defense upon lackadaisical defense in game number 2. Knowing full well that this is the pivot point of the series. If Portland wins game number 2, now it's 1-1. You're going back home. You put some doubt into the mind of the Warriors, especially if you've blown them out and you're up by 17 points and you're up by 15 at half. Even at that, the way that they did it, you're saying, oh, this is okay. All right, here we go. So I was dying inside watching the comeback, but also admitting the Warriors are so good like this. They're so much more enjoyable like this. This is such an impressive basketball performance like this. Because when it's Kevin Durant, let's face it, Steph Curry becomes passive. He oftentimes has been out of rhythm. It's stand around and watch Kevin Durant do something spectacular. And he often does. He often does. That's why he's been the NBA Finals MVP twice. It's why they've won back-to-back championships en route to a third. It's why Golden State went from a great team to a you can't beat them no matter what team. They went from a great team to a deck is stacked team. Let's face it, they went from a great team to an unfair team. And that's the resentment towards the Warriors with Kevin Durant. But what has happened since game, well, really, since Kevin Durant went down in the Western Conference semifinals against the Rockets, is that people have started to come back around on the Warriors. They said, this is such a fun team to watch. This is so enjoyable. They're so much more likable without Kevin Durant. You've now started to hear this. The common refrain has been, we hate the Warriors. Hey, I'm still on that train. I ain't coming off that island. But nationally, you're starting to hear people say, boy, I like this Warriors team again. And that has to kill Kevin Durant. This storyline is almost too perfect. It is almost too perfect. What has been the defining trait of KD since he has gone to Golden State? This seek,
seeking validation, the search for recognition. I'm great. I'm the greatest. Don't you see how great I am? Which is why he's constantly fighting on social media with nobodies. Because even nobodies matter to him if they don't recognize him. Recognition is Kevin Durant's Achilles heel. Recognition. Recognize me. So, this is almost Shakespearean. Kevin Durant has sought, desperately seeking out recognition. And they have won two titles. He's been to the NBA Finals MVP. He has been phenomenal in those NBA Finals. He's got his hardware. He's got his rings. And he felt as though, okay, I got my recognition now. People are finally recognizing I'm one of the best of the NBA. I'm the best player of the NBA. I'm a lethal scorer. I'm a great, all-time great. Okay, I finally got that. Now I can move on to my own team. Now I'm going to leave Golden State, leave the nice nest, the comfort of Golden State. I'm going to go get my own team. Because then they'll really see how great I am. Because I'm great, and they recognize I'm great, but it's still, oh, are the Warriors good without you? So I'm going to go somewhere else. And not only are the Warriors fine without him, the Warriors might be better without him. And Kevin Durant is now going to leave, and the franchise is going to feel better about not re-signing him, because before this, it was a real worry. Oh my God, we're going to lose KD. Or any way to bring him back? What else do we do? Now the organization's feeling way more comfortable letting him go, letting him walk. And they might win a championship without Kevin Durant, looking better without him. And KD is going to have been part of three world championships, perhaps at Golden State. And he'll leave and people will go, ah, he might have made him worse. If Golden State wins the championship this year without Kevin Durant in the final two and a half rounds, let's say he doesn't even come back for the NBA Finals. He's going to be out for this series. He was out for half of the last series. He might be out of the finals. They might win a championship without Kevin Durant for two and a half of the series, two and a half of the four. He might have three championship rings in his finger. He might be part of three parades, and he'll leave, and the legacy will be, yeah, you know what? They were actually better without him. And once again, it will grind him to no end that he never got the recognition that he deserved. And this I am laughing at because he went to the Warriors for the Insta ring. He knew when he joined Golden State that it made them unbeatable. He knew that. He also knew that they didn't need him to win a championship. They had just done that a year before and had just gone to game seven of the NBA Finals, winning 73 regular season games without him. He knew they could do it without him. So he knew by going there, he was going to win. He knew. We all knew. The moment that he signed, it was a foregone conclusion. There was no conversation. There was no doubt in anybody that was honest. And I think it's bothered some people that I've been so honest over the last 3 years and said, it is a foregone conclusion. It doesn't matter. They're winning the championship. And people saying, no, wait a second. Wait, what about the Rockets? Oh, D.A., what about the Cavs? Well, what about LeBron? And I said, no, we need to just wear out. We need to just wait out this storm. Well, the storm's almost over and Durant's almost gone. And what are we learning? They don't need him. They never did need him. They never needed him. It only made them unbeatable. It only made them unfairly talented. But they don't need him to win big and compete for championships and even win championships. And that's showing right now, and it's got to burn Kevin Durant. Reed Forgrave, CBS Sports Basketball Insider, just joined the morning show here, Taz and the Moose, a couple of hours ago, and said, it was so obvious how the Warriors have been told by coaches and the brass, hey, make sure you keep saying how hard this is without Kevin, that this is a very conscious decision and effort by the Warriors to make it seem like, boy, it's going to be so tough without Kevin. We really need Kevin to come back. Who knows what we can do without Kevin? Kevin is so beloved around here because he is so sensitive to the idea that they don't need him. And they know they don't need him. They know it and they're showing it. They don't need him. They never did. And this is the only thing Kevin Durant has ever wanted to be needed, to be wanted, to be recognized. It is truly Shakespearean that he's going to go through all this at Golden State and still, the caveat will be, well, they would have won without him. And then he's going to go somewhere else to once again seek out this recognition. But he is so sensitive to his legacy and to the perception of how great he is, and certainly to the perception whether the Warriors need him or not. And they are proving with every game that they do not, and it has got to be killing him. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. When we come back here on the show, the Rockets and Mike D'Antoni, should they go all in on the next 3 years or should they move on? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.